Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
You're listening to Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic beliefs, themes, issues from a Dominican perspective. Dominican, that is, from Friars of the Order of Preachers. And my name is Father Raymond Snyder, and I'm a Dominican at St. Patrick Priory here in Columbus, and I'm joined today in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott and by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and we'll begin as we always do with a prayer to Our Lady. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And the title of our session today, this episode, is How to Instruct the Ignorant Without Being Obnoxious. It's funny to note that instructing the ignorant is a work of mercy. If you, for example, had a Catholic upbringing and had to memorize the works of mercy, instructing the ignorant is mentioned among the spiritual works of mercy. And yet when we say it just like that, instructing the ignorant, it might sound a little harsh at first. You say, well, who am I to instruct anyone? Or who am I to decide if someone's ignorant? And that word ignorant has such a negative connotation on its own. You might say, well, it's a little harsh to use. But no, this is actually just something that our faith calls us to do, which is to speak the truth to those who do not know it yet, to speak the truth about Christ, about His grace, His glorious plan for us, and salvation offered us through Him and through His cross and resurrection. Father Stephen, what do you think is the right way for a Catholic to approach that obligation or that call from Christ to instruct the ignorant?
I think it's always good first to listen to the person that we think might need to be instructed, to listen to them, to seek first to understand that we might be understood, because instruction, I think, is something we need to do, but if we're not going to be obnoxious about it, it's something that implies a certain amount of trust, hopefully, of the person that's being instructed. And that trust tends to be earned, not demanded. And we can earn that trust by listening to the person, understanding where they are, who they are, what they think, why they think it, as much as we can. And then offering to say something of our own experience, to try not to turn it into a debate, because debates, it's either a win-lose, lose-win, but if we just talk about our own experience, I think a good way is just to give a little bit of our own story, of our own past, not highlighting that we're good and you're bad, but we're just a pilgrim on the way, like you, like everyone else. And even just, and even if I don't feel like I have the best words, maybe if I've spoken to this person, I might think, oh, well, this is a great book. If you'd like to read, I'd like to lend that to you, to take a look at it. Because that way you're letting someone else bear witness to their story. You might be able to phrase it in a much better way than I could.
One of the stories that, of course, we all know from St. Dominic's life, which was really a turning point in his life, was when he debated with the innkeeper, who mm-hmm. had been kind of a member of the Albigensian heresy, even, I think, if I recall correctly, like a deacon in the Albigensian mm-hmm. church. And your point, makes me think of that story in a new light. St. Dominic didn't just spend the whole night speaking to the innkeeper and persuading mm-hmm. him, but think of how much of that time would have been spent listening to him.
Mm-hmm.
And how, it's also a principle from Thomas Aquinas, just to add another Dominican into this Dominican dimension. They're all here anyway, in the Dominican dimension. St. Thomas would say, well, if you're trying to argue for anything in regard to the faith or spread the faith, then you need to begin with the common ground you have with someone.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the scriptures, if you hold the if they hold the Bible as an authority and are willing to hear some arguments from Scripture, then you can use that. But they may not. You may have to start on more of a basic principle with them.
Yeah, and St. Thomas would also always try to understand the best objections, you know, to what he was going to say. You know, he wanted to understand the person he's in conversation with well enough to understand their best argument, you know, to almost be able to make their own arguments for them so that those might be taken into account, that we don't just try to, you know, we're not sort of like a steamroller, you know, flattening everything, but we're actually addressing the real, you know, difficulties that this person right in front of us, this fellow pilgrim, has on their way.
Did you ever have a teacher growing up, or maybe a professor in college, who could articulate your question better than you could?
Oh, certainly.
And say, wait, are you asking this? And then they'd rattle off very clearly, and you say, yes, exactly. And
right.
I remember one teacher who had a tremendous way of doing that. He could say, you know, the argument, he could ask the question for the student after hearing, mm-hmm. you know, one sentence out of the student's mouth. One passage of Scripture that I think gives us encouragement in exercising this work of mercy, this work to instruct the ignorant, is found in St. Paul's letter to Timothy, the second letter to Timothy. It's sort of as he ends with this concluding encouragement. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. How timely those words are in our own day, when people do not tolerate sound doctrine, and it is the call of those who follow Christ, those who are Christian, to show them the truth. How do you think we could be encouraged in this? You know, because there are so many Catholics out there who might say, and rightfully and humbly so, well, you know, I'm not the best of teachers, or I don't know my faith as good as others. So really, who am I to share the faith? Who am I to articulate the church's teaching? Some people have that. I would describe it as a kind of false humility, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it could be a good humility to know your limits, to know when something's beyond you, but to simply say, well, I'll never be able to explain the faith. We know that sharing the faith is a part of the faith, right? Mm-hmm. How do you think an average Catholic should go about evangelizing?
I think first of all, admitting that they're not a master of theology, you know, or philosophy, to admit that they're still on the way. And that's, I think, usually an advantage in a conversation, because even if you are a master in this topic, the other person can feel a little overwhelmed or feel at a disadvantage. Whereas if you admit that you're still on the way and you're humble about what you say, and if you don't know something, that you say so, and that you're willing to look and find it, you know, and there's great resources to find these things, I think that can actually be an advantage to not know everything, but to share what you have, and to offer to find out what you don't yet know.
Go ahead, Father Stephen Dominic.
Sometimes I think you have to pay attention to the emotional relationship that is going on in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have yet to meet a person who I have been able to club over the head with logic and theology who does not resent it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not how you do it. You know, you have to... If you build a bridge, you have to start at their end. You have to see what their difficulty is to coming to Christ, and you can smooth it. You can't make them believe. However, you can witness to your own belief.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, there's a big difference saying, say, if I'm talking to a Baptist, that why the Baptists are wrong, and this is why, or saying that I couldn't be a Baptist, and these are the reasons why on my journey I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So one, you're attacking something that the person holds very dear. The other, you're trying to explain your own difficulties with it.
Mm-hmm.
This makes you in the position of a fellow seeker with the person.
Right.
And that's the right place to be, because we're all called to be pilgrims on this particular kind of journey of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things we have to continue learning. So to make, as I said, matter of personal witness, and to respect at always the feelings, to be gentle with the person you're talking to. Mm-hmm. I think that's very, very important for this, mm-hmm. for evangelization.
That's a great insight. And, you know, it's one thing to remember as people kind of work up the courage to maybe, let's say, invite a friend to learn more about the Catholic faith, maybe invite that person who's asked them about their Catholic faith before to invite them to RCIA even, mm-hmm. just to consider the possibility, because so many people just don't know that, you know, yes, you can become Catholic.
Right.
And I work with people in RCIA who are in the process of being received into the church, who are preparing for that. That's one of the things they'll often say is, I just thought you either, you know, grew up Catholic or you didn't, and there was no way. So many people are unaware of the fact. And, well, really it's not their job to know that thing. It's the job of Catholics to help them know and see that, yes, becoming Catholic is a real and live possibility. And extending that invitation, which is often a very personal invitation, to say, well, why not, you know, come with me to some right. something that's going on at the church, or maybe not Mass right away. That may not be the best introduction, eventually, of course, but maybe to come to a talk, you know, mm-hmm. maybe even to come to that, you know, those first beginning September sessions of RCIA. It's good. It's a good first step. You're listening to Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues, themes, topics, theology, musings from a Dominican perspective. And my name is Father Raymond Snyder, and I'm joined here in the studio today by Father Stephen Alcott and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes. And we're discussing today how to instruct the ignorant without being obnoxious. That's our, I imagine there's a little some dot, dot, dot between that, too. We have the spiritual work of mercy of instructing the ignorant, but we need to be reminded in our own human weakness to not be obnoxious at times. The faith is something we share in joy. And in fact, that's a great place to begin when we want to share the faith, to talk about what is it that we enjoy most about the faith, that sustains us, you know, that consoles us the most.
I heard a talk on evangelization one time by a campus minister. It was a great talk. And he pointed out that everyone has something that they evangelize about, whether you know it or not. You know, maybe it's your favorite movie that you just, if someone just like, you know, touches that button, you just open up. Oh, I can't wait to tell this great movie. This is the best thing. Or this great book, or this great restaurant you found, or this great new food you discovered, or this great hobby you have, or this great favorite vacation spot you have, or, you know, whatever it is, your favorite pen, you know, remember Father Boniface loved to talk about fountain pens. That was his thing.
He was a fountain pen guy.
He eventually, I think, evangelized someone by talking about a fountain pen. He was buying a fountain pen online, and you know, and the person he was buying it from, you know, just got into a conversation through email and found out that he was a priest, and that started a whole nother conversation. But we always evangelize something, you know, and we in a sense we already know how to do it, and it starts, like you said, Father Raymond, with joy. It's something you're excited about, you really love, you know, because no one likes, I guess there's some people that delight in bad news, you know, that delight in the latest, you know.
And might be eager to share it,
too. Might be eager to share.
But you're right. Good news.
Delight in that. But
good news has that intrinsic power that within it that wants to be shared, you know, that line that goodness is diffusive of itself. It overflows. And so, too, we're kind of effusive. We overflow about those things we love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to start with joy, what about the faith is something you enjoy, or at least is important to you, or that you admire? A favorite saint, you know, a great Catholic book you've read, a favorite author, you know, great Catholic music that you enjoy, that you want to share. I mean, if you think through, you'll eventually find something you are kind of enthused about, and that makes it very easy to talk about, just as you would talk about, oh, you've got to, you know, see this movie that I just saw. It's the best.
That's great. And I think that helps people see their evangelization as a part of their faith. And it's not just another obligation on the list, you know, or I should say it's not just an obligation, you know, mm-hmm. oh, well, you need to spread the faith, you know, but it's actually something that Catholics have a right to, you know, that's a important principle I remember from our training is that, you know, whenever we can see we have an obligation to do something, even within, like, let's say, the code of canon law, for example, mm-hmm. whenever we have an obligation, we also have a right. And so if we're going to say that, well, all Catholics have an obligation to share the faith, well, so too they have a right to. And it empowers you to know, oh, I am called to instruct the ignorant, and that means telling the truth about Christ to those who may not know it.
It also implies that you actually know the faith yourself. And that's an important thing.
Say more about that?
Well, I mean, one problem I end up doing as a priest is cleaning up bad instruction that people have received from other Catholics. You know, so sometimes people substitute a personal devotion for authentic theology or authentic dogma or doctrine. I remember having to correct a CCD teacher who was teaching that Protestants believe we're saved by faith and Catholics believe we're saved by works, which is false.
Quite the oversimplification.
More than the oversimplification. It's a misstatement of the Catholic
faith. So you had to exercise the role of instructing the ignorant at that point.
To the person who was teaching CCD classes. You know, and sometimes devotion, you know, will create a problem because if you are caught in something which is wrong, the person may not say anything, but they're going to say, well, obviously they have no idea what they're talking about. I remember, I think there was one situation where I mentioned the sister who was teaching devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, don't chew the host, back in the old days, you know. And, of course, that's a private thing. It's never been part of the teaching. But one of the altar boys said, but sister, father chews the host. Of course, when I was a kid, you know, the priest was facing away. Only the altar boy could see what the priest
yeah,
was doing.
Yeah, the inside scoop. Yeah.
And the sister says, oh, well, you must have been mistaken. And the altar boy knows exactly what he saw. But to my mind, that just it convinces the person that sister doesn't know what she's talking about. And if this is true of this, how many other things? So if you're going to teach, you better know your stuff.
Or another way maybe of framing it in someone's life is part of practicing the faith is to have a continued growth in our knowledge, a real study of the faith, you know.
Because we are all pilgrims, as I said before.
Right. To have a real study of the faith, reading the scriptures, reading spiritual books on a regular basis from good authorities, you know, being familiar with the catechism, the, you know, official kind of articulation of the faith, or as there are so many resources these days, I guess we're within one of them right now. I was going to say audio resources. Got a little meta
Catholic
there for
radio.
A moment. There are so many things we can listen to help support our faith and to really nurture. It's really a shame when someone remains at the level of a child's understanding of the faith, mm-hmm. because, you know, real life raises a whole bunch of other questions, and the faith does have answers to those.
Religion is really not for kids. It's something that adults are called to. I mean, you give kids what they can, but, you know, this is something for authentic spiritual maturity.
Right. You could also say, though, that, you know, this person who may not know their faith extremely well may be the only Catholic that a non-Catholic meets. Mm-hmm. So if that person doesn't say anything out of a recognition that they don't know their faith extremely well, that could mm-hmm. be a liability, couldn't it?
Well, yes, I agree with that. Share what you have. But I'm just saying be certain of what you share is actually authentic. So the other thing is we're living in an age where there's so much bad information. Mm-hmm. If you just Google a topic, you have to pay close attention to the website.
True.
That you're actually getting it from a solid Catholic source and not some, you know, an anti-Catholic website or you know, a heretical one, you know, something mm-hmm. that, you know, a website that says the Pope, you know, there's no Pope or something like that.
And your comments about devotion aren't so much a discouragement of using devotions so much as to have them be doctrinally grounded.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
Solid, right.
And in fact, that's the way a lot of people have been introduced to some of the central doctrines of the Church is through incarnating that in daily practice and prayer that they find identified with a devotion. For example, the Divine Mercy Chaplet is an example of how we, yes, get into contact with the evergreen truth that's always, of course, been a part of our faith, of the great mercy of God.
And don't I'd say some things like on the level of art, on the level of beauty, things can be shared. Even the liturgy. You know, I remember first time I saw an Eastern Rite liturgy, I was just bowled over by the richness and beauty of the liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and that's always been an important part of my own spirituality since, is, you know, maintaining that Eastern component.
Right. And maybe, yeah, so not only not relying solely on our own knowledge of the faith to share, mm-hmm. but being able to point them to other things, whether that's, mm-hmm. you know, art or liturgy that's good, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
that speaks to the whole person or to a book or to a teacher or to Catholic radio, for example.
Right.
I want to go back to that point about that you made, Father Stephen, about how someone may feel that they're not quite up to explaining the faith, but they might be the only Catholic someone's met,
mm-hmm.
or the Catholic who knows their faith, you know, the best out of those they've met,
mm-hmm.
and that makes me think of a principle, you know, that's a real favorite of St. Thomas, but it's something he's taking from just observing the way God works and the way we see his working in Revelation, and that is that God loves to work through instruments,
mm-hmm.
and mediators, and even those at the lowest and local level, right?
Mm-hmm.
That friend that we have that introduces us to the faith. So God is so good, this is the way he puts it, the way St. Thomas puts it, God is so good that he delights not just in making things good, but in giving things the ability to share that goodness with mm-hmm. others. And so giving them the dignity of being a cause. You know, think of how great it is when we're able to share the faith and able to be that bridge to God for someone, that person that introduces them to Christ, to the face of Christ, or gets them, it makes that first invitation for them to begin praying, you know, or to begin participating in the life of the church. Any other thoughts, either Father Stephen or Father Stephen Dominic, on how we might encourage Catholics to instruct the ignorant without being obnoxious?
Well, I think, as I said, if you're actually showing yourself to be a friend to a person, as I said, if you're not trying to win an argument,
mm-hmm.
or my church's doctrine can beat up your church's doctrine, I think we get along. I think we get a lot further. One thing that I noticed that some converts have said to me is one of the things that they noticed about Catholic teaching was that the Catholics they knew did not beat up on other religions. They were content with their own. They were happy to see the good in another religion, but still maintained the fullness of truth of the Catholic Church. And that's not true in a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm.
So that I think that is, as I said, that gentleness, the kindliness of the way we approach is crucially important for these people.
Right, to see the common ground, to see the good in the other. You know, we're made with a capacity for faith and for the truth. And
there's
always
the virtue.
Something. Yeah,
yeah,
there's always something in the other person that's good, you know, that's true. If it's mm-hmm. even if it's maybe incomplete.
I was once invited to a dinner at a woman's house. Her son was afraid she had become a radical Protestant and was afraid she was going to hell because she was remaining a Catholic. And so I came to dinner. We had conversations about it. He got so upset sometimes he had to leave, you know, and walk around the block, and he'd come back and we continued the conversation. But he said at the close, at the beginning we said, I'm sure we won't, you know, convert each other, but I just wanted you to see where your mother's coming from on some of these issues as a Catholic.
Mm.
And, you know, and he said at the end, he says, I really have to think some through some things, he said, because he says, what I noticed was not so much the arguments, he says, but I was getting upset. And you people continued to be generous and kind and gentle, you know, and I was so becoming so angry. He says, that's not Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to look at what you said, and also what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a mature reflection that he had on himself there. But what a great testimony and encouragement for speaking the truth in love. And that's really the ultimate answer, I think, to how, How do we instruct the ignorant without being obnoxious? By giving them the truth and giving that to them in love. We jokingly made that title, Instructing the Ignorant Without Being Obnoxious. But I think, honestly, people are a little too afraid of being obnoxious sometimes. They say, well, I don't want to introduce the faith. Then people will get uncomfortable. You know, there's something to that effect. Or it might offend someone if I suggest that they should become Catholic or that they should learn more about the Catholic faith. And that's where I sit and say, wouldn't it be more offensive to never share the faith that you hold so dear with the people that you hold so dear? Isn't it more offensive to never speak up about Christ, to never try to introduce someone more deeply to Christ? And you know, one thought to conclude with, we'll conclude with a passage from the letter to James, recognizing that there's actually a great work of mercy, a mercy that even atones for sin to a certain extent in bringing others to the faith, saying to the effect that a person who brings back a sinner from his way will save his own soul and cancel a multitude of sins. You've been listening to Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name's Father Raymond Snyder, and I've been joined today in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and we'll now conclude with our prayer to our Holy Father, Saint Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. O preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported Saint Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.